Okay, well, we'll be praying about that situation. All right, well, we started on John last week.
Right.
And Brandon covered the first chapter. And he said, told me, I guess it was, I don't remember what day it was, he called me. Said, I'm not going to be there next week. Can you take it? And I said, yes, sir, I can. So, we're going to start with the second chapter. And you know that, the not to go back over chapter one, but I just love the beginning of chapter one, talking about who he is.
Amen.
You can just dwell there for a while. And I thought, well, maybe I ought to. No, Brandon already did all that, so I'll let it alone. And he did a good job. He did a good job. But it's good to get into the Word of God and just really look at it and study it and kind of break it down and, you know, ask the Lord, say, Lord, as I read this and as I study it, show me what you want to show me out of this word. Because it don't matter how many times you read it, he'll show you something different every time, because it's a living word and it's so good. And so we'll start with chapter 2. It took me a little bit to kind of figure this out, that first verse. It says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And I thought, what significance does it have saying, and it was the third day? And I looked back at the first chapter, and I read through it, and I looked at it, and looked at it. And this is me. But I feel like that it was the third day after he was baptized. That's what it kind of looked like to me. If y'all have a different idea, we'll. But that, looking at the sequence of things, because there was two or three places in the first chapter, it says, and the next day this happened, and the next day this happened. And then now it's saying, and the third day there was a marriage. So that's kind of the way I took it. So, Jesus' mother was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples were called to the marriage. You know, I figured maybe it was a close acquaintance, or maybe even some of their kinfolk. I don't know. But anyway, they were all called to the marriage and were there. Verse 3 says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. And he was kind of not sure, but he said, and I believe she said that to him because she knew what he was capable of. You know, just because this was the first miracle that he did that's recorded in the Bible, she knew about Jesus. I mean, she raised him, but I'm sure there was things up through his lifetime that she saw. Maybe she didn't even mention it, but you know, I'm sure when Jesus was out and about doing things and playing like other kids or helping Dad in the carpenter shop, I'm sure there was things that took place that made her to helped her to see that what he really was capable of. He may have even did a little miracle here and there and didn't think anybody was seeing, but she noticed and she knew. Because she knew, she remembered what Gabriel had told her from the beginning, who he was and who he was going to be. And in saying that, I look back at Luke, the first chapter, starting with verse 30, it says, "Then the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great." That's the first thing right there.
Oh, yeah.
"He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So she saw the hand of God in his life, you know, from the very beginning. From before he was conceived, she saw what the hand of God in his life was going to be. Continuing on in Luke 2 and verse 40, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." You know, she took notice of all that. Just all the little things, you know, something he said, you know, that's like, whoa, a kid shouldn't know that, you know. Where did he get that from? She may have even wrote some of it down, kept record. I don't know. Somebody had to understand where she was. So I kind of figure she probably kept record of some of the things. Oh, I want to remember that. You know, that's what we do. But with our kids and grandkids, I want to remember that. Verse 41 says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days," in other words, the feast was over, "as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him." Can you imagine that? They looked for him for 3 days before they found him. "Found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he had spoken to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." In other words, he went back and they raised him on up, and he was their son, and he followed their wishes and their guidance. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. See, she kept all that. She kept up and knew what was going on. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." You know, even as a young man, people around, according to that, people around started noticing that this boy's not just any old boy out there. He's special. And they, you know, if they had any knowledge of God at all, recognized the glory of God and the Spirit of God upon him in the things that he would do and things he would say. Of course, we have no recordings of that as far as the Bible, because after he was 12, there's nothing there until you know, he came into the ministry, to his ministry. So, but she kept all of that and remembered it all. And so that's why at the marriage, she said, "Hey, they don't have any wine." So, went from there. So, going back to John 2, verse 4, says, "Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." You know, and he wasn't being disrespectful. He was just getting it across to her that I felt like that he was saying, it's not my time to, I don't feel like it's my time to be known yet in that manner. And, but you know how mamas are. Oh, you can do it. You know, you can do it. Yeah. Come on. They need wine. Come on. I mean, that's the way I took it. That's what, you know, basically kind of what she said. Yeah. But, okay, verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. That's just one of the things that they did to purify their water, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, I was curious about firkins, and I looked it up. 1 firkin was 9 gallons of water. And so, if each one of those pots had 3 firkins in it, that's 27 gallons. Times 6 pots, that's 162 gallons of water. And he turned them all into wine. It's like, oh my Lord. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But they filled them, all those, with, it says, verse 7 says, Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. So all 6 of them was as full as you could get them. And so you're looking at least 162 gallons of wine. Wow. You know, verse 8 says, "And he said to them, Okay, draw out now and bear to the governor," in other words, the man in charge of the feast, "and they bear it." You know, when Jesus did a miracle, it was significant. Yes. He didn't piddle around. I mean, 162 gallons of wine. There you go. There you go. Got a more than enough. Yes, sir. Okay, verse 9 says, "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said unto him, Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." To kind of break that down in our terms, you know, at the beginning, you would have the expensive stuff, you know, the good stuff, you know, the well-aged wine that's supposed to be the best. And then when everybody had drank quite a bit and they didn't got getting to where they didn't care, then you go drag out the MD 2020. Boone's Farm. Or, yeah, Boone's Farm. That's kind of the way I took it, you know. Okay. Verse 11 says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So, you know, it was, they were with him, but they still didn't yet know for sure who this guy was, you know. They believed his, they believed him enough to follow him, but then seeing that, they're like, whoa, this guy really is more than just a man. Verse 12, after this they went to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when they had, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, where'd that come from? And the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. You know, they were in there wheeling and dealing, exploiting the people. You know, no telling how much extra they were charging the people for the that didn't have their own sacrifice to bring. No telling what they were charging them, and sitting in the temple and making this money off of the people, and plus the fact that it didn't need to be being done inside the temple. You know, they could take care of all of that outside, somewhere else, you know. Which it's not that it was necessarily a bad thing that for someone that didn't have their own means of sacrifice to sell them something that they needed so that they could follow the law according to the way it was supposed to be, and they could have a sacrifice. It wasn't that it was bad. It was just that where they were doing it, and I believe also that how they were doing it. Because they were doing it for their gain, not necessarily to help people out. They were doing that for their pocketbook. Yeah, it was a heart condition. Verse 17 says, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Show us proof. That's what they were saying. Show us proof that you have authority to do these things. Because you don't have that authority unless you show us proof, you know. In other words, let's see some papers. Let's see some something. Show us a miracle. Show us something from God, saying that you have the authority to do these things. Verse 19 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? You know, even the spiritual leaders of the time that were supposed to be well versed in the scripture and knowledgeable of spiritual things didn't understand where he was at, where he was coming from. They didn't get it. 21 says, but he spake of the temple of his body. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. And when they saw the miracles which he did. You know, it's recorded, a lot of miracles are recorded in the Bible that he did. But there's a whole lot that aren't mentioned. There's no telling how many just walking down the road. You know, they couldn't record everything. It's like the word says, if they had recorded all that Jesus did, the world couldn't contain the books, you know. And because it was just so much. And, you know, I can't even imagine having been one of the disciples or just those that tagged along to see. A lot of people tagged along just to see him do something. You know, even old Herod at one time, he just found out he was in town and hoped to see him, and so because he hoped to see a miracle done by him. And, you know, that's just the way it was. It's like everything else, you know. It's like the old saying, you know, if you see smoke, you want to go find out where the fire is, you know. And, well, you see a miracle, you want to follow him around to see some more, you know. And that was the way it was. Where was I? 23. Now when he was at Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast, many believed in his name. I already read that, but that's all right. When they saw the miracles which he did. 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. He knew men's heart. 25, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He didn't want man's testimony of him, because no telling what they'd come up with. You know, and the people of that day were looking for a Messiah to come and to set up his kingdom here on earth, because that's what they believed, that he was going to set up his kingdom on earth, deliver them from the Roman Empire, and he would be the new leader of the Jewish people. But that wasn't what he was here for, because he had to accomplish the things that God had already laid out for him to accomplish. He knew that they would be wanting to make him an earthly king, and that, so he withdrew from that stuff and didn't commit himself unto them, says. That's chapter 2. If anybody has anything to add, you're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Jesus' first miracle occurred at a wedding. The context of the sign hints at the great wedding feast to come on a glorious day in the future. Jesus will return to establish the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus, the bridegroom, will be united eternally and in glory with his bride, his people, his church. And that's in Revelation.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything you want to share? Floor is open. Go ahead. You started opening your mouth. You got it.
I was just wondering, if that wine was so good, what are we going to have at the marriage supper of the Lamb?
Oh, man. No telling. No. Go ahead.
My favorite one is when he said, "Woman, what do I have to do with you?" Mm-hmm. About that, Mary didn't respond at all to him. She just said, "Whatever he says to do, do it."
Mm-hmm.
Because she knew who he was.
And she knew where he was coming from.
Yep. Yeah. And she knew who he was because she pondered that in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
When she was, you know, when she found out who he was going to be.
That's right.
Right. Oh,
she did. And she had learned to trust him over all the years of his upbringing, because she knew, I mean, let's be real here, never told a lie, never stole anything, never disobeyed, never, even as a kid, never got angry and hit somebody. Right. I mean, how perfect, how do you handle a child like that? Yeah. Come on, James. Be like Jesus, man.
His mother, brother, and sisters followed him everywhere
they
went.
They did.
They followed him because they saw him, who he was growing up. And they knew.
I'm sure.
And Mom probably even told them.
And I'm sure when his brothers and sisters did act up, they probably had felt conviction. You know, yeah, let's go hide from Jesus. Well, that's not possible. it's amazing when you really think about the fact of him growing up with no sin, nothing. I mean, not once in his whole life did he do anything wrong. I think about my own self. I'm like, God, wow. You know, how many mistakes have I made over the years? Lord, I couldn't even, the books wouldn't hold it. That's right. And then to take, then took on all of that, all of our sin, the whole world.
Stayed in submission 30 years old.
That's right. Right. You know, and I've often wondered, you know, after the situation at the temple when he was 12 years old, you don't hear anything else about Joseph. And who knows how long he was around. I don't know. Probably. Right. So, you know, I don't know. But because it talks about his mother and his brothers and sisters followed him and were with him. Well, and they followed him until they said, you know, you're not no different than us, basically. And really got me. I read it today and I don't remember where it was exactly. About it came to a point and it said that a lot of his followers ceased to walk with him and left. And that's when he turned and asked his disciples, will you go also? Of course, they said, well, you have the words of eternal life. I mean, why would we leave? But, yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah, they couldn't handle it. Talking about that. So, anybody else? Okay. Well, I'm going to turn it back to Brother Hall. Let him do whatever he wants to do.
Okay. Most scholars and Christian tradition believe Joseph died before Jesus began his public
ministry. Is that on? I probably muted it.
Yeah, it says most scholars and Christian traditions believe Joseph died before Jesus began his public ministry, likely in his later years, as evidenced by Jesus entrusting his mother Mary to the care of the Apostle John at the cross. Anyway, but he taught him carpentry. So taught him how to do that. All right. Praise God. That was awesome. Thank you, Brother Norris. That was good.